This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 7:19 a.m. I'm Chuang, joined by Sharit and Lin Mark. We know now that the chief minister there, Dato' Osman Sapian, he's resigned. We don't know why. He will be giving a press conference on Saturday to explain the reasons and the whys and the wherefores. But the hunt is on for the next chief minister in Johor.
Yes. So yesterday, the resignation itself has also put some spotlight on tensions between the federal government and the state royalties. So yesterday, Sultan Ibrahim, who is the Sultan of Johor, released a statement that certain parties should not meddle in the affairs of the state because the sovereign state still has a sultan. So although he wasn't referring to any particular issue, it is believed that he was commenting on Osman Sapian's resignation and the various statements surrounding his replacement. So the Johor Crown Prince, Tunku Ismail, popularly known as TMJ. He's also weighed in, saying that the Johor ruler has the prerogative to choose a new Menteri Besar.
So Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir, he came out to rebut this, saying that, I quote, "I am of the opinion that if we assume that those who can't choose the Prime Minister and choose our Menteri Besar, those who can choose the Prime Minister and choose our Menteri Besar are the kings, then we are no longer a democratic country." So this is when he was meeting the all the press at Parliament yesterday. So now the question is how much influence should a royal institution have over politics at this state level?
Well, it's becoming a bit of a party, isn't it? Because now the Johor opposition also will have a say in who's going to be the next Menteri Besar. So from the royal family to, of course, the Prime Minister, and now the opposition party. So it's becoming a bit of a party down there, isn't it? As to who's going to have an influence in the next Chief Minister.
And also it's interesting who they have recommended, which is the current Home Minister, which is Muhyiddin Yassin, also previous, the former MB of Johor as well.
Yes. So they've said that the Johor PKR chief as well have said that the opposition has no right to call for the dissolution of the Johor Legislative Assembly or name the next Menteri Besar. But I think we can't have a discussion about Osman Sapian without considering the fact that he has been something of a controversial figure. I mean, after his appointment, he released a statement saying that the Pakatan government wasn't going to provide any allocations to opposition assemblymen. He was also the one who swanned into Singaporean waters in the midst of a territorial dispute between the two countries.
Plus also being in Batam for a tourism event. Of course, Batam is a tourism island of Singapore. At the time that Sungai Kim Kim was being polluted by chemicals and all kind of toxides. Okay, switching away from Johor, we've got some opinions on how Pakatan Harapan government's economic promises have been achieved or not in the last, 12 months since they were elected. Now, we've got the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs Ideas estimating that the Pakatan government has fulfilled nearly a third of its economic promises almost a year into office. Now, in Project Pantau, a report card by Ideas highlights that the government moved quickly to implement its key promises, including abolishing GST and replacing it with SST, or the sales and service tax. There's also been more transparency about the state of its finances, and there have been ambitious plans to tackle corruption, which includes reforms of the public procurement system. So we speak with Lawrence Todd, the head of research and development at Ideas.
I actually do think communication is a bit of a challenge at the moment and is really important. You know, I think for our team, when we were going through to prepare a report on the government's progress, we went through many policy documents the government has actually published that are very detailed and include a lot of content on what they're trying to do to achieve all the promises they set out last year. And I think sometimes it gets a bit lost. The media discussion inevitably gets consumed by the big political stories, you know, whether it's the big trials or whatever else it is from day to day. And I think the government is struggling to cut through all of that and tell a clear story about what they're actually doing on the ground. So, I mean, I'm sure this isn't news to them. I'm sure they get frustrated with this. But I do think they need to experiment with different types of communication just to try and get a different message to come through and to explain a bit more clearly what they are doing that is positive. So I do think communication is a big challenge. I think the other big challenge is whether they are able to really prioritize the detailed implementation that's needed to secure structural change. So it's easy to have big announcements and all too easy sometimes to sort of say, okay, great, we're setting up this new loan or this new fund. It's really about whether you have the discipline to see these things through and translate those things into real change.
That was Lawrence Todd, Head of Research and Development at IDEAS. And, of course, he was answering the question of what remains the Pakatan government's largest challenges so far to date. And I think he's right in saying so, because although the jury really is out on a general basis on how the new government has been doing, it has delivered on certain things that it promised, but it does have the communications issue. And, of course, the unity of message among all the cabinet ministers, that remains a challenge as well.
Yeah, I think right now we're suffering from a bit of a recency bias, right? So all of these things that that IDEAS has raised, they are things that the government has achieved, but they've kind of slipped out of the public's collective memory in favour of things like the Rome Statute or things like even you know a little bit further back, ICERT. So we have focused so much on what the Pakatan Harapan government has not done that I think we've lost sight a bit of what it has done so far.
It's gone so far as to even suggest that I've been hearing rumours of a cabinet reshuffle resurfacing again. Okay, we're going to be coming back in a few minutes and we're going to be coming back with Australia. So stay tuned. Don't go down under. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.